Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. It's First Things First, your favorite show's favorite show. On today's show, are we headed towards a LeBron-Kyrie reunion? Maybe if LeBron James is in charge. Meanwhile, why is Aaron Rodgers still talking about the Packers? I don't know. And finally, an oldie but a goodie. Who has the most to gain? Last time we did this, it was in the Super Bowl, and the answer was Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
And it came true. Alongside Chris Broussard, I'm Kevin Wildes. Any surprises on the who has the most to gain list?
You know what? I will reveal something. Unlike the Super Bowl list, I'm not on this one.
I was wondering.
I'm not on
it. I bet you somebody else on this panel is on something. You think I don't know? You think I don't know?
Do we have a mole?
No, we don't have a mole. What we have is a smart panelist. That's right. That's
what we have. We're learning about the surprises of the show. We start with game one. Denver not only favored by eight and a half. I know that. But according to Kurt Goldsberry, they are the third largest title favorites in the last 20 years. 20 years? Yes. Here's Michael Malone.
As I told our team, man, like, forget the eight seed stuff. I mean, they beat Milwaukee 4-1. Team that had the most wins in the NBA this year. They beat Boston 4-3, and they're up 3-0. Team with, I think, the second most wins in the NBA this year. So you get to the NBA Finals, it's not about seeding anymore. And for those that are thinking that this is going to be an easy series, I don't even know what to say to you people. I mean, like, this is going to be the biggest challenge of our lives.
Okay. We'll settle down.
He's on the cusp.
What?
Hold on. Winning a championship.
Yeah. I don't know that I've ever said this on this show. Mm-hmm. Everything Michael Malone said there was correct.
Oh.
He was exactly right.
You think he's that confident?
Do I think the Heat are the toughest challenge thus far for the Nuggets? Yes. Do I think he is absolutely right that if it were Nuggets Bucks, my colleagues in the media on that side of the table, across the network, across other networks, many of which would be picking Milwaukee, of course. If it
including
were,
including you,
if probably. It were maybe, yeah. If it were Nuggets Celtics, I know Brew would be picking the Celtics.
No, I wouldn't.
Oh, you wouldn't? Oh, okay, you were going to go with Denver. I know, but you agree. A lot of people would be picking the Celtics, and the Celtics. We got to see a preview of those lines. We're going to be the Vegas favorite.
True.
Miami dusted Milwaukee. Was up 3-0, as he said, on Boston. And everyone is so tied to this idea that talent, this indefinable feature, is what wins games, as opposed to looking at what has won games. By the way, Denver is not the most talented team in the Western Conference. Phoenix probably was. And they annihilated them. I know it went six. It didn't feel like a close six, in my opinion. And so what they have is continuity, a singularly great player, and some pieces that fit really well together. And Jamal Murray's really good. No disrespect to him. Of course, this is disrespectful. And this is, by the way, I would argue, the exact spot Miami wants to be in. As the disrespected underdogs going on the road in game one, where they were in Milwaukee and won, in New York and won, in Boston and won.
I agree with a lot of what you said. I have no problem with Michael Malone saying this is the toughest thing we're going to have to do, biggest challenge of our life. But I think what he means is, yes, we have a gritty, hard-nosed team facing us that just went through the Eastern Conference, but also the stage, winning a championship, period.
Sure.
That's what he means. I don't think the Heat as a team are their biggest challenge. I think the Lakers were. And they swept the Lakers. But that doesn't mean the Lakers were better than Minnesota, who got a game at least, or Phoenix, that they weren't better than,
I knew
you
know, what you
or Phoenix yep, that got two games. I think the Lakers was their biggest challenge as a basketball thing. But when you bring everything into it, it is so difficult. And Mike Malone knows this because his dad was a coach in the league. So he's lived this thing his whole life. How tough it is to win a championship. LeBron didn't know until he got against Dallas in 2011. And they're up 2-1. And the weight of it all hit him. So that is what Michael Malone's talking about. How tough this is going to be. The team, no. Now, I agree, Nick. I respect them. They've gained my respect. Yep. There's no doubt. But they win, as you said. It's not just talent. They have some talent. But it's heart. It's execution. It's playing smart. It's being tough. Yeah. And that will beat a more talented team that lacks that. Mm. But Denver is a more talented team that has that. Just as much as Miami has.
I don't know if they have as much grit. I don't know
as
if they have as
what?
Much toughness as Miami.
Oh, I think
they have
do.
Continuity.
They've got fluidity on offense, which Boston didn't have. They've got heart. They got grit. They got focus, which Boston didn't have. And they're well coached, which Boston, was not.
That's
and
true.
So I think and then they got this, Wiles. I don't know if you had this graphic. Dusty and I dug this up. Oh. When you have this much rest, all right, going into game one at home, I mean, overall, they're 10-6. But when you have this much rest compared to your opponent, look at that. 8-1 at home, 8-1 in the series.
Yep.
So Denver's got a whole bunch of things going their way. Mm-hmm. They should be huge favorites. Yeah, and I don't think that's a disrespect to Miami.
And they haven't lost in Denver since March. Do you think it's an unfair criticism to say, well, Giannis was hurt. I don't think the Knicks were for real. In game 7, first play of the game, Tatum was hurt. So maybe the Heat
that's a
benefited
ridiculous
a little
criticism.
Bit.
And
I know Tyler Hero wasn't there.
That's ridiculous criticism.
Not criticism.
Is it a fair?
Facts. No, it's facts.
Oh, wait a moment. They are facts lacking all context. Because, yes, Giannis did get injured in game one. They also, however, Miami that is, beat Milwaukee when Milwaukee was the one seed 4 years ago under very similar circumstances. Well, with Jimmy and Bam and the one seed Bucks, they beat them in round two.
They got
swept
by them the following year.
I understand that in five games. They also, Giannis was back. And you guys know how highly I hold Giannis. I said going into the postseason that who the best player alive was not even an allowable debate. Jokic obviously has made it more than an allowable debate. Giannis had 38-20 in game 5. The idea that his back injury only affected him at the free throw line and seemingly didn't affect him at all when he was running from the ball at the end of the game is ludicrous. That's first point. Second point is game 7. You know why teams are 0-151 when they go down 3-0 in a series? Because a slightly turned ankle can be too much to overcome. Because everything has to go perfectly. I don't view that Miami-Boston series like a typical 7-game series. I don't think you do either. Because one team went up 3-0 on it, including winning games 1 and 2 on the road. I think people, and yes, Denver might have been favored over certain teams. But for people that don't gamble out there, I want just to explain just quickly what these numbers mean. If you bet $100 on Denver, you win $20. If you bet $100 on Miami, you win $333. Mm-hmm. So what Vegas is saying is Denver is approximately 16 times more likely to win the series. That is disrespectful. That is ridiculous.
You don't think Miami should be favored.
I understand why Denver is the favorite. They are at home. They are more rested. To most people, they have the best player in the series. They have been a dominant team all year long. I get that. I think Miami getting less respect in this series than Boston would have is ludicrous. I think it's absolutely ludicrous because Miami is better than them.
Yeah, you talk about talent like it's not measurable. It is. And Boston has more talent than Miami. You even said it yesterday when you picked Miami. The only thing you can point to when why you're picking them, no basketball reasons.
I'll give you one.
It's pixie dust.
No.
It's kismet.
No.
It's angels in the outfield.
No, that's...
I mean, that's what we're talking about.
Hold up.
Why in the world, basketball-wise, are you going to pick the Miami freaking Heat?
Well, Jimmy Butler is a good reason. And we'll talk about Jimmy Butler.
He ain't as good as Nikola Jokic, I tell you that.
He is, over the last 4 years, he has been better.
No, he
in the postseason.
No, he
I'll show it to you.
MVP?
I said in the postseason. I said in the playoffs. And
got swept.
So did Jokic last year. Or 2 years ago, pardon me. Jokic got swept in last year.
Jokic had
lost
injured
in round
teammates.
One. And Jimmy's got undrafted teammates that you've disrespected all year until right now.
I say injured.
I get it. But can I just finish the point that I'm making as far as a basketball reason? Does finals experience matter? Does this not being the biggest test that this group has ever played matter? Because Jimmy and Spo and Bam and Hero, if he comes back, were in this exact same situation against LeBron James.
Not the exact same.
What?
No fans.
Okay, but that goes both ways.
That's a lot.
That's
but
fine.
No, but that's a different.
No media.
That is nothing like this is going
okay,
to be.
No, the environment is different.
The
my
finals.
Point is the stakes are the same.
Yeah,
with a championship on the line. And so bubble or not, they were playing for a title. They have that experience. They have the experience of facing elimination in the NBA Finals and Jimmy responding with a 40-point triple-double. That is a basketball reason.
Kind of an intangible, I'd say.
Okay, but experience is a real
like,
sports thing.
That's not shooting ability, size,
no, okay,
athleticism.
So, okay, so here's the basketball reason. They are a far better defense. You just said it. Would you agree?
They're
a far better
defense.
Okay,
so
that's a basketball
reason.
But
do you believe that? I mean, you just naming a reason, but do you believe that's going to turn this
I'm picking Miami as
because
I picked them last
defense.
Round, as I picked them the round before.
Can I show you this graphic?
Yeah.
Because Denver's gotten better in the playoffs, and this was also the reason why we thought the Lakers were going to beat
right.
Denver because the Lakers had such a good defense and Denver came in and said, oh, don't really care. We averaged 116 in the regular season. Then Minnesota, a little bit of problem. Phoenix, we got better. And the Lakers, which was the best defensive team in the playoffs, cooked them up. So
they've been phenomenal. And nothing that I've said here is supposed to be disrespectful to the Nuggets. They have been phenomenal. They have answered every bell. I think this is Miami's year.
Denver in five. Joker so far in the playoffs. 30 points, 13 rebounds, 10 assists. Shooting 54% from the field, 47% from three. And he's a huge favorite to win the finals MVP, Brew. Here's a list of who has won two MVPs and a finals MVP. Everyone on that list.
Top 15 all time. That's 10 of the top 15 all time.
So, Brew.
It's a pretty unbelievable list.
What would a finals MVP do for Joker's legacy?
Well, it would put him on that list of all-time great players. Let me say this. I have to say this. To me, the question could be, what would a finals win mean for Jokic? Because I'm not as into the finals MVP. It certainly means something. And if you get it, it's a little extra. But all that matters is winning the championship. Period. The finals MVP, all the hype about it to me was brought about by Steph haters who, when he didn't win it in 2015, Durant won the next two. Yeah, they're trying to minimize his greatness by saying he didn't get it. Kareem won six rings.
Yes,
two finals MVPs.
That's right.
Okay, so
Magic's
Isaiah Thomas, his first championship,
finals MVPs.
Didn't win the MVP finals. So I don't care about that. If Jamal Murray averages 33 and Jokic averages, 25 and they win – and Murray gets MVP, no sweat off Jokic whatsoever.
Agreed.
So that's number one. But look, there are things. Number one, he would be just about the undisputed best player in the world, I think, in many people's estimation. And Nick, check this out.
Oh.
He would be the first player ever to win a championship without a rotation player, a teammate who's in the rotation, who has never made an all-star team. I don't mean that year. I mean never in their career. And that means something.
Go ahead.
The only other player to even make a finals like that is Jason Kidd in 2002 with the Nets.
Can I listen, and this is not shade at Jokic. I am less interested in that because some of the guys who that knocks off, it's because they had aging former All-Stars who were nowhere near All-Star form.
Yeah,
Dirk in 2011 had Jason Kidd and Sean Marion, who were a half decade each removed from being All-Stars, but they were on the team. Who did Akeem
have? They started.
Who did Akeem have as his All-Star team?
Otis
Thorpe in 94.
And I actually thought Akeem might be the guy.
But I think the overall point of, to me,
in this super team era or dynamic duo era, he's doing it. Now, Murray, if they win it,
Murray will begin to become
a star.
Yep.
But right now, it is Jokic and a bunch of really
good
roles.
Who was LeBron's All-Star in 07?
But they didn't win it.
But you said the only other guy to make the finals was
probably
Kidd.
Ogausis.
Maybe so. Can I do this with proper names attached to it,
sure,
what it would mean? So I've got, here's the, and we don't have to argue much about the order, but Brew, here is, as of this moment, my 10 best centers ever. Okay? So there's the list. And so you see who's on there. Wilds is not a big Moses Malone fan, I found out today. Also thinks Akeem was wildly overrated, but we can discuss that another time. If they win, Brew, here would be the updated best centers ever list. Jokic moves ahead of David Robinson. Patrick Ewing gets knocked off the list. Forget George Mikan. The next guy up as far as contemporaries would be Shaq. He's a ways away from that. I think he would be nipping as far as non-centers on the all-time rankings at Kevin Garnett, that at Charles Barkley, at Karl Malone, at Chris Paul. That's the area he would be in. That's the area to me, if they win.
You said Garnett?
Garnett, Barkley, Mailman, Chris Paul, that general vicinity. If they win, he moves ahead of guys like James Harden and Allen Iverson. And again, I think people want to square this with the things I've said about Jokic in the past. What I've said about Jokic in the past is this is what he needs to do. If he does it, if you were to stop playing basketball, they win the title, they win a finals, he wins a finals MVP or just plays great in the finals, and he were to retire and go ride his horses in Serbia, he's one of the 30 greatest players ever. That's where he would be.
Look, he's ahead of Garnett if he wins this championship.
You put him ahead of Garnett?
Yes. Probably Barkley. I love Barkley. But this dude is leading a team to a championship. And his numbers are outrageous. He averages a triple-double.
How about Dirk?
No.
He's better than Dirk. If he wins this championship, he's definitely better than Dirk.
Hold on.
I think he's just better than Dirk,
right,
period.
But the better than is different than higher on the list.
Dirk's got one MVP and one championship. He'll have two MVPs and one championship.
I understand, but you're not just to count the rings and totality of the career.
I just think it's game. He's a better rebounder. Dirk wasn't a defender. Dirk scored.
He averaged about 8 rebounds a game. Score in league history.
Right. But still, obviously. I mean, if Jokic plays he's going to pass.
Right, but that's a different. So if he's close to Dirk, so then he's nipping at D Wade's heels?
Well, that's your list.
No, I'm asking you.
D-Wade's got 3 championships, and it was obviously his career was a little shorter than most, but not D-Wade. I think Dirk is overrated by a lot of people. He's great, but I would put Jokic ahead of Dirk if he wins this championship, without question.
Durant?
You got Dirk ahead of Barkley and Kevin Garnett?
Yes.
Yeah, he wasn't better than
us. Brew, Durant real quick.
Durant? Not yet.
Okay.
But I think when Jokic's career is all said and done, he'll be ahead of Kevin Durant.
Okay. There you go. That's the official list. Hope you had your pen and paper. Kyrie going to the Lakers? That's next on FS1 and the Fox Sports channel on Sirius XM. Stay tuned.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow the Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Welcome back to a spectacular episode. Kyrie told everyone on Instagram Live that he was going to take his time with his free agency decision. Lakers, however, still looming. And according to an anonymous Western Conference GM, LeBron has his eye on his own teammate. Oh, he's got sunglasses on. There's not an overwhelming sentiment from them like, we've got to get Kyrie. It's just LeBron. And that sets up a big clash. LeBron versus the organization. You know, the last time LeBron won a clash like that, they got Russell Westbrook. Maybe he should think about that. Brew, what do you make of this disconnect?
I think LeBron should respect their front office. I think LeBron should go and voice his opinion. Look, I want Kyrie. We need a guy to help us close games at the end of games. You saw the Nuggets had Jamal Murray. We didn't have a guy like that who could get a jump shot like that anytime he wanted. That's why we need Kyrie. Now, you obviously got to keep Austin Reeves and Rui Hachimura. Mm-hmm. So I think LeBron has to say only if Kyrie's willing to take this pay cut. And if not, then you got to move on. But I think he should. Rob Pelinka has done a good job. I mean, they obviously LeBron got Anthony Davis there, but everything else Rob Pelinka kind of put around them, which has been good. And so Reeves is going to get better. Rui's going to get better. Schroeder, I love. Maybe you go get a Fred VanVleet, you know, if he's
I don't think
free.
They're going to be able to do that.
But you know, but I just think Kyrie to a certain degree, but I don't think LeBron should like push it and it should become this huge clash because Kyrie is somewhat, he even with LeBron, he's a bit of an unknown.
Yeah, of course. Hey, listen, I don't want Kyrie on the Lakers, but what I want even less is more stories like this. It's just, it belies history. So does LeBron or does he not run the Lakers? Does LeBron or does he not just handle Rob Pelinka like a little marionette? Or is Rob, because it's so weird. Because LeBron wanted Ty Lue as the coach and didn't get him, right? We all agree on that. He wanted them to trade Russ before the season started, which, by the way, they clearly should have. And he didn't get it. He wanted Kyrie Irving at the trade deadline, right? And Kyrie was available, and he didn't get it. Mm-hmm. And then, all of a sudden, and then the revisionist history of, oh, give Rob Pelinka his flowers for finally trading Russ. Huh? Why? So, because who did he get for Russ? Remind me, guys. D'Angelo Russell, who was unplayable at the end of the year. Jared Vanderbilt, who was unplayable at the end of the year. Mo Bamba.
Those guys.
All I know is in the Western Conference Finals, they were DNP coaches'
series.
Decisions. I get it. But the idea that if LeBron ran things, Ty Lue's the coach. They still have Anthony Davis, as you said. And yes, they trade for Russ. They also move off him before the year and don't start 2-10. There's this weird spot where it's like Pelinka is allowed to say no to LeBron because he does. But when something goes wrong, it's because LeBron made him do it. Is that not the narrative? Tell me, is that not the narrative that is out there consistently? They only got Russ because LeBron made them get him. But then it was reported for 6 months LeBron wanted them to trade him, and they wouldn't. So he lost his juice, but now if the Lakers end up getting Kyrie, oh, that's going to be all on LeBron. Well, I don't get it. Someone explain it to me.
I believe the narrative was that LeBron wanted Russ, and the organization wasn't so high on Russ.
Mm-hmm.
And LeBron put that out, you know, keep talking about how he gets hurt and the way
he plays.
That was
after they got him.
But I'll be proven right, and that tweet has since been deleted. And then Rob Pelinka basically was like, the trade that we want to get Russ the assets back is not there right now, so we're going to have to hold on to Russ. You don't get to, like, say we need Russ and then want to get rid of him in 14 months.
Okay, LeBron had the juice to say, we have this team that won a title that was the one seed until AD and I got hurt. Dismantle it to go get Russell Westbrook. They then have a disastrous year where Russ, everyone agrees it doesn't work. LeBron did not have the juice then to get him traded. But now, didn't have the juice to get Kyrie at the deadline, but now might have the juice to get Kyrie in the offseason. I don't know that I totally follow.
I think your overall point is right that, as you mentioned, LeBron is clearly not making the final basketball decision.
Because he wanted Kyrie
months ago. He may have input, as he should, as your greatest player. But he is not, like Nick brought up all the instances where they've gone in different directions. So I agree with you. That's a bit unfair to LeBron.
But this is can I, you mentioned the AD trade, Brew, right? And this is where I just think sometimes there is the tail wagging the dog element on some of the coverage of LeBron James. LeBron, we all agree Anthony Davis would not be there without LeBron James, correct? Right? Mm-hmm. That same summer, Kawhi told the Clippers, I'm only coming if you get Paul George. How has that worked out? And how much scrutiny and criticism has Kawhi Leonard gotten? I don't know. Kevin Durant says, I'm only coming if you also sign Kyrie Irving, and then pushed them to go all in on James Harden. How did any of that work out? And yet, it has both been disasters for two organizations. One guy has since left the organization. Mm-hmm. The other one won a title with his teammate. And we're like, man, why does LeBron James have all this power that he only intermittently has? I just don't quite follow it. I just don't know what the rules of engagement on this are. You seem to have like a take here.
I
think we're off the beaten course on like whether or not Kyrie would be good for the Lakers, or like, who, rather than
you definitely
doling out criticism cards, like, you get criticized more. Kevin Durant got criticized.
I think what I was going to say, Durant gets criticized, Kawhi gets criticized. They don't get criticized to the degree of LeBron. One, they're hurt a lot, so they're not even in the discussion a lot of times. Mm-hmm. They're not playing. But two, they're just not on the level of LeBron James. You know what I mean? Like, he's just at a higher level, so he gets more praise, but he also gets more criticism.
And if we want to stay on the well, – I don't think any of us believe – Brew was one of Kyrie's last – like defend, I don't want to say
if
defenders,
he's taking
but,
30 mil a yeah, year, yeah. Bring him in.
But I just don't see. Like I don't see, and I don't see how the logistics of them getting Kyrie, barring him taking forget 30, way low money, involves someone wanting a D'Angelo Russell sign and trade. And does anybody like you guys can say I'm too low on him because of the Western Conference Finals?
Well, I'm low.
But is there? Do you think the Mavericks are like, yep? D'Angelo Russell.
No, I think they're on record as saying they're not going, and they're not going to help Kyrie with the signing.
Right, and so I just don't see a realistic path. And as much as I don't think Kyrie's a solution to anything. Yeah, if Kyrie wants to come anywhere for the mid-level, then a lot of teams. But of course, he
right,
wants money.
He was at
a lot
home
of money.
In Brooklyn. He was playing with one of his best friends. They were rolling. Mm-hmm. They had won 18 of 21, which is why I thought they could win the Eastern Conference.
Listen, he did.
Smart people thought that.
And
he bailed because they weren't going to pay him.
He left him in fourth place. They did what they were supposed to do. That's what
you
he
know
told
they would have met.
We're talking about playoff Jimmy next. First things first.
Baseball is back, and so is Flippin' Bats.
5 times a week, Monday through Friday.
So follow us on the Fox Sports app, YouTube, and anywhere you get your podcasts.
28% from three, but all we've only ever
all
shown
I see is
him
making them. 100%
there. Playoff Jimmy's reached the finals, and even though the Heat are underdogs, Michael Malone not taking anyone lightly. Take a listen.
When I look at Jimmy Butler, what separates him from most players is the drive, you know, the competitive spirit within him, a relentless attack. He's a big moment player. He's not scared. He's tough. He's relentless, and he's a warrior.
He's actually a Heat. However, the rest I agree with Michael Malone on. I think just like if you guys remember the first game of the Western Conference Finals. The broadcast was like, America's finally getting to see what a great player Jokic is when he had the 12 rebounds in the first quarter and had that amazing start to the game. I think these finals, that storyline is going to be shared with Jimmy Butler. That America is, because while we all agree the bubble counts, it was not as watched as other finals. It was weird, different circumstances. Ratings are not at an all-time high, but they're back up. Everything's going well. And I think Jimmy, I'm going to show you guys some numbers of Jimmy since he got to the Heat and see if I can convince you of something, okay?
Okay.
40-point playoff games, league leaders, the last 4 years. Jimmy tied for first. Luka, Giannis, Booker. Okay, what about 30-plus point triple-doubles all around games? Those are Jokic, the guy people think is the best player in the world. LeBron, best player ever, Jimmy, and Luka. Game score is kind of a catch-all metric from Basketball Reference. A 30-plus game score is a great game. There's Jokic, there's Jimmy, Giannis, LeBron, and Luka.
Yeah, it's kind of odd that Joker's on every single one.
Yeah. It's like no, that's fine. And by the way, many people believe he's the best player in the world. I'm not arguing Jimmy Butler's the best player in the world. I'm going to show you one more that I think will surprise you guys. Team success. Playoff wins the last 4 years. The starless Miami Heat at the very top.
Pretty good.
So this is what I'm trying to convince you guys of. There are not five guys you'd rather have come the postseason than Jimmy Butler.
Go. Oh.
I will say Jokic, sure. Giannis, yep. And I don't know if we can throw Club Superstar for some reference here. And I'd put Steph, unquestionably, in that top three.
Okay.
But the guys who have gotten kicked out, Kawhi, CP3, Ja, you'd rather have Jimmy. The guys who are in there, Embiid, Tatum, Lillard, AD, you'd rather have Jimmy. Agree on all those, Brew?
Lillard?
Yeah.
He get to the playoffs.
Yeah, well,
often,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
when he's there,
so,
he does well.
Didn't they get swept last time he was in?
Well, they lost in five in the bubble, and then I'm not sure the what happened.
Right.
You might be right. The last time got swept.
I can't argue.
So then, Jimmy, there is Jokic, Giannis, and Steph. And then there's a group with Jimmy, LeBron, KD, Booker, and I would include Luka. I know they missed the playoffs this year. He's been unbelievable in the playoffs. He is one of the five best playoff performers in the league. Now, does that make him, Brew, a top five guy?
No.
Because
Well,
because in the regular season, obviously, a guy like Embiid is better. But in the playoffs, there's no question you'd rather have Jimmy.
Look. He's not a top five player in the NBA. I think we all agree on that. We include everything. I mean, unless we're just talking about postseason, we're including everything. Secondly, look, what he's proved is, I think, that Hall of Fame, I think he's in now.
Sure.
He's in the Hall of Fame, and I think I was the first one on national TV to say that.
That's true.
I think I was. All right, but I don't want to take anything away from Butler, but the last 2 years, he's been phenomenal in the playoffs. 3 years ago, when they got swept, he averaged 14 points on 28% shooting.
He had a bad series, but what did he do the year before?
That's a bad series.
But what did he do the year before?
They got to the finals. But I'm just saying, I can't imagine LeBron or somebody of that ilk having a 14-point playoff series where you shoot 29%. Mm-hmm. So what I got five that I would take over Jimmy. He would be six.
Right now?
Yes.
Okay.
Giannis,
yep.
Jokic,
sure.
Steph,
sure.
LeBron,
okay.
Even right now,
yep.
Luka. I know they didn't make it. I take Luka.
Actually tanked.
Luka's 33
this
points
is,
a game in the playoffs.
Did you see what he just did there?
Right. This is. I think Luka's becoming my guy.
I gotta tell you.
You have been down on Luka ever since Kyrie got traded to the Mavericks.
Can I? What do you call
Jimmy
that? Breaking.
Tank
I think. Am I Luka's father now?
Yeah.
What is it called? Well, it's the fifth wall, fourth wall.
Fifth wall. It's fourth wall.
Fourth wall. Okay. On the pre-show call, I said, "Listen, there's three guys that I think you can slot ahead of Jimmy."
You didn't tell.
And I said this on the call. I said Jokic, Giannis, and Steph. Right, you're on the train. Bruce like handed tickets
what
to
is
a
that?
Good doctor.
Like, Bruce, that,
but
sorry.
Doesn't matter. And then Bruce realized, well, if I say the fourth and fifth guys are Nick's two guys, LeBron and Luka, how's he going to argue against me?
That was
a dirty trick.
No,
that's a dirty trick.
Honest,
go ahead, Wilds.
My honest feelings.
Because this guy's been consistently overlooked.
Sixth.
And this is just, I asked Josh to just put up a straight, old, boring stat comparison. This postseason, Jamal Murray.
Yeah.
Ah.
I mean, they're similar numbers,
but they're not
exact.
But
they're
you
similar.
Can argue Murray's are better.
And then the other part of this, Brew, regular season to postseason, Murray has increased his scoring average by almost 8 points, and Jimmy's up by 5.5. So, yep. Well, I know we're putting Jimmy in the Hall of Fame, and I know he's top five player in the world. He might be the third best playoff performer
okay,
in the finals.
No,
There's a huge difference you're missing. Go ahead. What is it?
Which is when the entire defense is set up to stop you versus when the entire defense is set up to stop your teammate, your life is different. Yes.
Okay. So, Jamal Murray gets what?
Well, let's see what Jamal Murray does.
That is not Gatorade. Oh my God.
Jokic, it's easier being the second guy.
Of course.
Well, he's the second guy. He has the same numbers as
but
Jimmy.
All the attention is on Jokic.
Yes, that is. But that opens things up for.
It is not. He's great. I don't hate it. But he's third.
Wilds, what's the confusion?
I just looked at the numbers again, and one guy's going to the Hall of Fame, and the other guy can't make the All-Star team.
Okay. He will next year.
Hold on. Wilds, do you think this? Do you think Steph and Clay are the same 3-point shooter?
I'd have to look at the numbers.
No.
Steph to be a little bit better.
Okay. Well,
you know, even though there have been years that Clay has shot a better percentage, you know why? Because Steph is shooting harder threes, and the defense is focused on stopping him. Yeah. When Steph and Durant were together, even though Durant had those unbelievable numbers, one of those reasons is because the defense was still more afraid of Steph.
It made it easier on him.
So how they're shutting down Joker.
No, they're not. No one can shut him down. But that, hold on, you don't think that Jamal Murray is better than Jimmy Butler.
I'm saying there's a contest about to happen. And in that contest, they keep score. And if one guy does better in the contest than the other guy, he's declared
but
the better guy. And that can be Jamal Murray.
But that's not actually what's happening here.
It's literally what's happening.
But there is...
You know Jamal Murray is not the defender, Jimmy Butler.
But even take
that part
out.
I'll give you that one.
But no, you don't believe, I don't think anyone does. I know we got to go. That if Jamal Murray were on the Miami Heat instead of Jimmy Butler, that they'd be in the NBA Finals.
I don't know. If I had wings, I'd fly to work.
I'm just saying,
Jimmy Butler is a great player. You know I love Jimmy Butler.
I'm pounding big face coffee every morning.
You know that.
And by
five.
The way, America.
Five. You're even, not even giving them two games
even
like me.
If Wilds had wings, he'd still get a chauffeured S-Class to work.
It's a limousine. I just feel like before we put Jimmy Butler
in the Hall of Fame,
Jamal Murray should get, more than that Western Conference champion's hat.
Unbelievable.
Someone's still talking about his ex, even though he's supposedly happily married. Aaron Rodgers on Packers GM Brian Gutekunst in The Athletic. Did Brian text me more than I texted him? Yeah. But did I ghost him? No. Just tell the truth. You wanted to move on. You didn't like the fact that we didn't communicate all the time. Like, listen, I talk to the people that I like. Your reaction.
I do not think Brian Gutekunst has done a great job as GM of the Packers. I don't think he's done a terrible job, but you could argue that back when Rodgers was still peak Aaron Rodgers, his number one job was to not piss him off, and he failed at that one, obviously. And obviously some of the draft picks have worked, some haven't. I don't think he's awful. I don't think he's great. I also am totally on his side in this ridiculous war of words, pardon me, that is really one-sided. Because I find Aaron Rodgers' telling of this tale to be so farcical on its face and embarrassing. And I encourage people to read the entirety of this article.
I'm going to try
to summarize it to a degree.
Go ahead.
It reports in there that Aaron Rodgers tried to get Gutekunst fired. And his agent called Mark Murphy and said, you need to fire him or my guy's done. And Mark Murphy said, no, I won't. Then, by Rodgers' own telling, Gutekunst was in Southern California in January, said, I'd like to get together. And Aaron's like, I'm busy. I've got to work out was one of the things. Like, yeah, buddy, we know. We get it. And appearances.
But sure, we'll get together.
And that Gutekunst called him. And Rodgers, and I quote here, and I don't know if I replied later that night, the next morning or the next day, but it wasn't like 5 days later. There's a big gap, you know, delta there, and Brian had already left town, so we never got together. I now remind you that during the original McAfee 48-minute bleep show, where 18 minutes in, he was like, yeah, I came out of the darkness, I want to be a Jet. He said what he wanted was, quote, direct communication early in the offseason. Gutekunst went to Southern California before the offseason even started. And you didn't call him back. And then you called him back later. And then Brew, he reiterated. He doubled down on the, Jesus, man, my phone provider stinks. You've got a FaceTime.
That's true. One bar.
One bar or zero bars.
At the most.
And, but then he's like, and let's be honest, I talk to the people I like, which is also Wild's philosophy on not answering my texts, but this is a different situation.
I just find it ridiculous, bro.
I find it really ridiculous.
Okay, and look, it's hard to argue with what you said, but I'm going to spin it forward.
Okay.
I like riled up.
Oh!
Angry.
Are we back?
Chip on his shoulder, Aaron Rodgers. Oh. I'm not. Look, it's early. We got plenty of time before the NFL season starts. What I'm saying is the more I hear Aaron Rodgers talk, the more I see him embrace the Jets experience, the more I think about the broken thumb in week five. I didn't give it any excuse value at all.
Right, or else.
But now I'm starting to. Now I'm starting to think he gritted through it. He fought through it and gutted through playing with that broken thumb. I'm just saying this. I am starting to like the Jets.
Oh.
I am starting to like them in the AFC East. I know Wiles that sticks in your craw because you know, Patriots, I mean, whatever. But I'm
15
just,
times they, in a row.
I'm just saying I'm going to keep watching.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers might be back. Maybe last year was the broken thumb.
No, I think
he's
going
to come out with a vengeance.
Here's something that might be good for you, because it was also criticized about his commitment to the Packers in this article. According to the source associated, the Packers weren't satisfied with Rodgers' commitment and effort, not only during voluntary OTAs, but day-to-day afterwards. And Rodgers was fired up and said, you know, I won the MVP not going to OTAs, but now he's at OTAs.
Well,
so maybe that means...
He's
a little bit odd because, like, well,
no, but that's now part of the disingenuous part.
Kind of a little bit.
That's
of a
part of the.
He's got
it. That
is disingenuous.
No, but that is part of the disingenuous part. He says in there that he thought the improvement in OTAs was nominal.
Yeah.
That give me a break. You're hassling me about OTAs. I want MVP without going to OTAs.
Yeah.
But then clearly, this is to use your analogy from before about talking about the X. This is the guy that won't, you know, ever put the dishes in the dishwasher and then gets a new girlfriend and all of a sudden's cleaning the whole house. It's like, oh, no, I'm going to be a new and improved, better me. And the other person's like, that's all I was asking for.
Wow.
And so I don't think OTAs are everything. And I don't think Aaron Rodgers gets a ton out of them. But I think in the offseason, when Devontae Adams was gone and the team had just given you a $150 million contract and they drafted young receivers, it would have been good for them for you to be there. And I think you agree with me on that, Aaron. Not you, Brew, but I think Aaron agrees, because with the Jets, he's now there.
Just for his a defense of Aaron Rodgers, is it fair to say... Well, I was over here. I don't need to go to my 17th OTA. I know what's going on. And with the Jets, he's like, I don't know the code to the bathroom, so I need to get there
early.
Yeah,
but I didn't need to do the rehearsal shows when you joined, but you needed the reps.
It didn't work out to watch those shows.
In seriousness, it's not. He's not there for himself.
Right, it was for the receivers.
He's there for the young receivers, right?
I guess he's also there to hurt his... calf. He's not going too well.
Yeah, that's true.
So maybe he should have just chilled out. Get some psychedelics, relax, take it easy.
That's the first time you've endorsed the Aaron Rodgers psychedelics.
I think there is value.
Really?
I actually agree.
Of course.
Value?
There is some value.
Therapeutic value.
But he can play football, and I'm starting.
Welcome back to a great episode. It's Wednesday at 4 o'clock. And before the finals, we've got a special edition of Who Has the Most to Gain? And that's not all. After Who Has the Most to Gain, it's another special edition of Who Has the Most to Lose.
Oh.
So stay tuned for a double segment.
A little sweet and sour. That's what we like to do. It worked well with the Super Bowl. We had a live audience for that. Now we bring it back for the NBA Finals. Number eight, Most to Gain, The Godfather, Pat Riley. This is going to be just catnip for Brew. Wild is going to be totally bored by it, I think. Passes Jerry West, second greatest executive of all time. Red Auerbach one.
Passes Jerry West.
Pat Riley number two. That's what he has to gain. Also, this is his 19th finals appearance, which is an unbelievable record that I don't think anyone's going to pass. Number seven, undrafteds, four-year college players. Brew pointed this out yesterday, and I think he's absolutely right, that the success of the Miami Heat is going to get Caleb Martin was awesome in college, was all conference, was 19 a game, and went undrafted, and they, you know, got waived by the Hornets. Yeah. I think those older, established players that maybe don't get drafted because they're not as high upside guys are going to get a longer look by teams. Austin Reeves has helped with that, as you pointed out yesterday. Brew made this point. I thought it was a good one. Number six, Giannis. Vindication if the Heat win the title. How can you say Giannis can't be the best player in the world because Jimmy Butler beat him, but Jokic gets to be if Jimmy Butler also beats him? It's just an order of operations thing.
I'm not sure.
But I think if the Heat win, Giannis oddly keeps his best player alive belt. Number five, Jamal Murray. Different player, but the new Klay Thompson potentially. A transcendent offensive number one option. You get to be the number two, have open shots, get paid basically the same, get none of the criticism, win a title. It's a great life. It is a great, the number two option on an awesome NBA team. It's probably the best life. You get none of the criticism. Like max contracts are the same. Number four,
be as good as Jimmy
Bam. Never discussed. Only 25 years old, averaged 20 a game this year. Is top four in the league at his position. I think this year he was, for most people, not all NBA because Sabonis. But after seeing Sabonis in the postseason, Bam's stock probably rose somewhat and has an opportunity to be the second best guy on a title team. Number three, Spo. Already on the top 15 all-time coaches list that the NBA released. Officially, to me, would be the best coach in the NBA. I think he already is, but I think it would be undeniable if he wins this. And building an all-time resume. The coaches, full list of coaches with three or more rings. Phil Jackson, Red Auerbach, John Kundla, who did it with the Minneapolis Lakers, Pat Riley, Greg Popovich, Steve Kerr. That's it. He would join that list. Number two, Nikola Jokic. He would become basically undeniably the best player alive. I think he would cement himself as a top 30 all-time player, and he can only climb from there.
Right.
Like, as far as guys who are still playing that he could pass, Chris Paul, I think some people would say if he wins it, he already passes him. I would have him right behind him, but Chris Paul, Kevin Durant, who has more, you know, yesterdays than tomorrows in the NBA. This is what happened with Giannis. Giannis was a guy who was already a Hall of Famer and then won the title and did it in such spectacular fashion, he just skyrocketed from, he's a top 75 all-time guy to like, oh no, he's one of the 25 greatest players ever. And then at number one, of course, would be Jimmy Butler. A total transformation career-wise, resume-wise. There would be no comp to me in NBA history. Some people might bring up Chauncey and the 04 Pistons, but that team, while it didn't have any superstars, had a bunch of very good, long-tenured, established NBA players. Rasheed Wallace was awesome. Tayshaun Prince was awesome. Ben Wallace was awesome. Chauncey was the man and the leader. Yeah. This is not that. This is Jimmy Butler and friends. And I know he's like, I don't call them role players. I call them teammates. But we would never have seen anything like it. And while I don't think anyone in the media would say it, Jimmy could step to that microphone and say, I am the best basketball player alive. Oh, I'm sorry. You think it's Giannis? I beat him 2 months ago. You think it's Nikola Jokic? I beat him earlier today. So if they win it, he could play.
He could, anyone else though say he's the best basketball player alive?
Well, let me see how it goes.
Once he got the trophies,
he's holding both the trophies. But go ahead, bro.
Not good list. Good list. I got a team. I mean, you guys may laugh. You weren't watching basketball. You might not have even been born. You weren't born. Rick Barry's 1975 Golden State Warriors.
Barry averaged 30. Rick Barry's made the show.
He averaged 30. No one else averaged 14 points a game. Rick Barry's very underrated.
Yeah,
so I would compare them.
The
ABA existed, but I would compare them to this Heat team. They only won, I think, 48 games that year, too. So very similar.
Go ahead.
A few changes. I would move Jamal Murray to the third spot.
Oh.
And just move Spo down one, because everything you said about Spoelstra was right. But he's already top 15.
Sure.
Many already think he's the best coach in the league. So Murray would become, you know, I mean, next year I think he'd be an all-star. He'd get some all-NBA. You know, assuming he continues to play
you can be the first
totally
person to
rises.
Say he's going to be a Hall
not
of Famer.
Not yet. No, not going there. But you're right, Klay Thompson. So I would just move him ahead. Here's two. I'm surprised you didn't have these on. Maybe you consider them in the undrafted players. Gabe Vincent and Max Strus. They're both free agents.
Oh, pending free agents.
They're making $1.8 million. Caleb already signed.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Caleb
signed
3 years, $20 million. These Strus are, they're averaging, they're making $1.8 million a year.
Oh.
How much do you think they're going to make if they win the championship?
That's a good
they're
one.
Starting on the championship. So I'll put them in.
$2 million.
Instead of instead of Giannis, all right, that championship pedigree goes a long way. Then, where's my man?
Who?
Michael Malone.
Oh, gosh.
How is he not on here?
Oh,
if he leads this team to a championship,
gets fired 2 years later.
Well, he ain't getting fired. They know what Miami knows. Longevity, there is value in that. Stability. He's going to be like a Jerry
How's
Sloan.
How's Nick Nurse doing?
Michael Malone should be on that list. And I can't
let
Pat Riley, I think one thing you forgot to say, you probably know it. This would be his first championship without super duper duper stars.
Is he a star or not? We just need to decide as a show.
No, but one. This is one. Jimmy Butler is one.
Oh, you're saying without multiple.
Showtime Lakers.
I miss
LeBron, Wade, and Bosh,
right.
Shaq, and D-Wade.
And Wade.
And with all due respect to Butler, he's not on the level of all those guys
sure.
except Bosh.
Yep.
All right, so, and I wouldn't put him ahead of Jerry West, though.
Okay. I'm going to go off the board. I'm going to add Steph to the list.
For most to gain?
Steph.
Most to gain.
Why?
If Denver wins. Here's why. Steph's got, like you said, just like Durant, more yesterdays than tomorrow. And you have to look at the facts on the ground if you're Steph. You're like, all right, we lost to Denver 3 times this year. I don't think we can beat them. The team that we lost to in the playoffs got swept. Now, my GM is gone, so we've got a new decision maker in, and Joe Lacob is saying things like this. Take a listen.
We're going to win no matter what. I don't care what the rules are. We are going to figure out a way to do it. That's what good organizations do. They figure out a way to win the game. And our game is to win games and to win championships.
It's convenient when the game is to win games. It's nice and simple like that. So the question is, if Denver wins, I feel like Steph can walk into Joe Lacob's office and be like, yeah, we're not as good as them. You need to spend some money, and we need, what, new players or bigger contracts for the guys that we have? It's really a statement and a question.
Yeah, so I just think the Warriors, if they are I guess the move there is do what they could have done a few years ago, which is take Poole, Kuminga, and Moody and package that for a star and keep Draymond, keep Clay, and have just an incomprehensible tax bill that Joe Lacob previously said he's not willing to spend and to do those types of things. Yeah, I thought you were actually almost including Steph on a most to lose list because we lost to the Lakers, who lost to the Nuggets, how far away they might be. So I guess maybe it could cut both ways. But speaking of most to lose, my favorite part of it. Number four. Hey, that's my move.
Sorry.
Number four. You saw him on the most to gain list. Also most to lose. Giannis. If the Heat win, it's good for him. If the Nuggets win, no good, my friend. Jokic takes that best player alive belt from him.
Oof.
Number three.
I like that one.
Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson?
Yeah. There'll be a true champion in Denver. He'll have someone like the fans. There we go. The fans will realize, you know what? We've always been a football town. We don't need to be a football town. Wow. We're a basketball
He's
city.
Gonna be
John Elway's not walking through that
center.
Door. Number two. You asked for him, bro. Michael Malone. Oh, we're paying attention now.
What?
I'm telling you, I really hope that you don't get outcoached by Juan Eric Spoelstra, because you know what happens when people lose to the Miami Heat. I saw Mike Budenholzer get fired. The Knicks today were like, you know what? The GM, you got to go, pal. Lost to the Heat. We don't know if Mazzulla's going to be back. So he's wanted the attention. We are locked in. I hope those rotations are tight, Coach Malone. And, of course, number one on most to lose. None other than Chris Broussard. The curse.
I knew it. I knew it. And that was not a mole. I just figured it out.
Well,
because of the hate.
Because it's not hard to figure. You have picked against the Heat in every single series. You also, by the way, Brew, did not believe in the Nuggets, and now you do. And if they lose, after you would join them and the Heat continue on this run, when I think the only team you picked fewer times in this postseason was the Minnesota Timberwolves, it's not going to be great. It'll be undeniable. So Chris Broussard has the most to lose.
First of all, I like that picture you used.
I know.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
All right, but
that's your album cover.
I've had enough of this curse of Broussard.
Well, then start getting stuff
right.
Because
let me tell y'all a little something. Because you've been riding off this revisionist history. Because the Dallas Mavericks,
oh my gosh,
your pick,
yeah.
Dallas was in the Western Conference final last year. And you
Mavericks
picked them to reach the finals.
Yes, bro.
And they don't
You've
even make the playoffs. My team, I was with Golden State all year.
That's true.
They got to the second round.
Yeah.
You were with Dallas all year.
Yeah.
They were watching like us.
Just like the Nets.
All right,
yes,
Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I was with Boston.
True.
All right, Boston at least got to a game seven of the conference finals. You were with Philadelphia. And they, no, I'm bringing, are these not facts?
They're not.
You were with Brooklyn.
Brooklyn surrendered. Brooklyn said, we are not competing for an NBA championship
anymore. And what happened?
They gave up.
They infected my team.
No.
That's exactly right.
My team's made it much farther than yours.
Brew.
Golden State made it further than Dallas.
Brew.
Boston made it further than Philadelphia.
Why is there no
curse? So there's
curse
no
of
curse
Nick.
Of There is a
no,
curse of Nick.
Because no,
I just haven't sang that. I've been saying that too.
There isn't. There it is. Most of the game, most to lose.
Excellent. I had Denver all along.
Coming up, is the baby goat over the sophomore slump?
Sure, I'll read that one.
Uh-oh. Somebody's about to bail.
Sometimes they put in Welcome back to an excellent episode. We're about 100 days away from the start of the season. For one team that was in the Super Bowl, one team that will be, Eagles-Patriots kicking off. Philadelphia,
will
excited
be.
For that one. Mac Jones spoke today. Let's take a listen.
Our goal is to win every game that we play in and learn how to do that. And I think some of the learning experiences I had last year will really help. There's a lot of things I could do better. I know that as a person, as a player, there's things I can grow upon. But really, it's about this year. You know, we got new faces in the room. It's all about earning the respect of everybody every day. So I'm starting fresh, just like everybody else is. And I'm going to run my own race and look up at the end and see where I'm at.
I'm in a tough spot here.
Why? It's your guy.
I know. There's three things I'm worried about.
Yeah?
Number one, this will be poor Mac Jones' third offensive coordinator in 3 years. And one of those offensive coordinators was a defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
So you could argue that it's the second
in
3 years. Reason number two, we don't have a number one receiver. Our wide receivers are Devontae Parker and Juju and Kendrick Bourne, Tyquan Thornton and Butte, who might be good from LSU.
Juju was the number one receiver on the Super Bowl champion last year, Wilds.
I mean, okay.
He literally was.
Number one pass catcher. Do you like that?
He wasn't the number one. We haven't tied in, but you can be the number one. You have a guy who could be the number one receiver on a Super Bowl champion. You do. You have that. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
I like the guy, but it's just he's not DeAndre Hopkins.
No, that's
reason number three I'm worried about.
Mm-hmm.
people are sharpening their knives for the former dynasty. Some people are saying we're not even a dynasty anymore. And not only is it coming from outside in the normally kind people of the Midwest in Kansas City, but also within New England, Brew, the knives are sharpened for Mac Jones with the Bailey Zappe chants. And I think Mac Jones is on a short, short leash. Maybe one or two interceptions and there will be a Bailey Zappe clamoring. Not from me. I'm riding with Mac Jones. But those are the facts on the ground that can all be solved by signing DeAndre Hopkins.
Did he call him the baby goat once?
No. I didn't. You know what? That's a great pickup, Bru. But go ahead, Bru.
I'm on strike.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Look, I think Mac Jones, he's a game manager. We all know that. And if he were on a really good team with weapons, great offensive line, okay, the defense, they do have a great defense.
Got two of those three.
Yeah, the weapons hurts. He could be okay. But I think he'll be better this year than last year, I think.
Yes, he was hurt last year.
But here's the problem. How good can you be when you're going to be the worst team in your division, bar none? They are absolutely the fourth best team in the AFC East.
Who's
period.
Better? Who's better?
The Jets, the Bills, and the Dolphins.
Okay. The Bills, all of them. The Bills are definitely better.
All of them. All of those three are better. So I don't know how much he can be viewed as improving when they're going to be getting stomped
every
week.
We've got lots of problems and one solution, and his name is DeAndre Hopkins.
Nope. Okay, go ahead. He's
the number one receiver. He gives a lot of excitement in New England. And I don't know, he gets to reunite with his former coach, Bill O'Brien, which I understand things didn't end well.
You're right, yeah.
But they had some great times.
Can I ask you a question?
There's a lot of divorces, and there's a lot of people getting remarried. And those relationships are usually very nice stories.
Wilds. Can you see on this screen the odds to win the AFCs?
That's bogus.
So it's Buffalo plus 130. The Jets plus 250. Brew, throw your glasses on. Miami plus 290. And the Patriots plus 750.
Okay.
Do you think
I bet that
DeAndre Hopkins moves that needle significantly? Like maybe they go to plus 725.
I don't care.
I know you don't care. But so here's the question that I have. I'll ask Brew. And then I have some Belichick sound I'd like to play at some point.
No.
But do you think the general football public believes the Patriots have a great head coach?
Yes.
Yes. Now, is he the best in football? Still, maybe not. But he's great. They don't have a problem at head coach.
Right.
Do you think the general football public believes they have a great defense?
Yes.
Yes. Do you think the smart people at Pro Football Focus that I know you like so much think the New England Patriots have a good offensive line?
Good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Do they have a good running game?
Yeah.
Special teams. So why do they have similar odds to win their division that the Raiders do?
I don't know.
The quarterback ain't it. And now Belichick will tell you he is at least working out, which I think is literally the job of a pro athlete. But let's hear it from Belichick. Go ahead, please.
I think Mac works hard every day. You know, he puts in a lot of time, both in the weight room and in a classroom. Works hard on the field. His work ethic is really good.
Obviously, we've seen Mac in the weight room. We've seen him doing his different exercises. We've seen these. That's Brandon Staley. That's just other embarrassing workout footage. My apologies.
That's it.
There's back to Mac Jones. And then we've seen the workouts. We know.
Whoa, watch out.
Right. We've seen it. And we've seen it pay dividends. So I suppose this is good. I suppose this is what Belichick's talking about. And so I think if they have a great coach, if they have a great defense, they have a good offensive line, they have a good running game, and everyone thinks they're going to stink, I think we know what the patient is dying of. And so I don't know that Zappy's the answer, but I know Mac's not the solution. I know that.
Is this it? You going to make it official?
No. I'm excited for the year. Am I a little
really
bit? I'm not going to sit here and lie and say I'm not a little bit concerned. Sometimes it feels like old KW wants to win another title more than Bill Belichick, or I would be signing DeAndre Hopkins yesterday.
Wild. You can't kidnap him.
He has to want to play there.
He had an Instagram story.
I mean, he was asked one time about the Patriots.
It's millions of dollars.
The sour face. So everyone's got the money.
No, then pay $1 million more.
Okay.
You take the penalty. You take the Mac Jones penalty. The Mac Jones tax.
Wow.
Wilds is breaking. The baby goat tax?
Wilds is breaking. I got to tell you, when did the Jets play the Patriots the first time? If the Jets beat the Patriots, because here's the thing, America.
The Jets haven't beaten the Patriots since the invention of the internet.
Wilds is a sports polygamist. Well, he's a Red Sox and a Dodgers and a Yankees fan. He's a Celtics and kind of a Knicks Magic Thunder fan. If the Jets beat the Patriots.
Zero chance.
September 24th.
But if they do, I'm not saying you'll be a Jets fan.
No, never.
But you will find a new team.
No.
I think you will.
I might. I'm allowed to have an NFC team.
Oh, see, there you go.
I'm for Dak.
Yeah.
Another disrespect.
It doesn't count when I'm on vacation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I'm rooting for Mac Jones.
So you got the Patriots and the Cowboys in the Super Bowl. Is that what you're saying?
Well, that would be a tear my heart apart.
Here's some patent news. Jimmy Butler filed a trademark for Himmy Buckets.
Do you think Austin Reeves got there first, or do you think Jimmy was just there?
Himmy Buckets.
Do you think, Brew, he is – so you seem to think that I am on the high end of the Jimmy Butler hype, not as far as believing in the Heat. I know that as far as believing the win – but believing that he becomes one of the prominent faces of the league if they win the title. And my argument would be if they do and he doesn't, then what does winning really even matter? Like, if people are still doubting, if they win the title and people are still doubting how good he actually is, what more, how can a guy prove it?
I think he's going to, like I said, the Hall of Fame. I just don't think he's going to be, like, viewed as a top five player. It's a great run. I mean, again, some people did move Dirk way ahead of certain people historically. I didn't. It was a great championship, great run, but... You know,
Dirk's caught a lot of strays today.
I like Dirk, but not y'all, you. Y'all do overrated.
Speak is up next. Denver in 5. Don't forget, we'll be back here tomorrow, 3:00.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.